Are you blowing through all your business money?
Not sure how you're going to pay your employees this week.
What would you do with a budget that allows you not to overspend and to meet your business goal? What would you do, Eddie?
Nothing.
For the rest of us, stay tuned as we discuss how to create and implement a budget to help you reach your business goals. Eddie, do they need a budget?
I hope so, if they want to survive.
They don't need no budget. You don't need nothing. Take all your money. Just throw it in the fire.
Yeah, just throw it in there.
Throw it in the fire. But let's go through the reason why you actually need a budget. And we're going to tell this from our experiences so you can go in and not do what we do. And you don't have to pay for the scars that we've had to pay for. We got them everywhere now. They're everywhere. All over. So the first thing, the reason why, and I think this is the biggest thing, is that if you don't plan for your budget, your actual expenses for your team will go crazy. You remember at one point in time when we both got sick and it's like, and we were spending, I think it was like, this was during the thing, somehow we're spending $60,000 on employees in 1 month. And like, and I'm saying this right now, when we're not getting none of the production that we were getting, it's because we were like, well, that sounds right. We got to work, so we get stuff go and let it go out the whole thing. And then not knowing what you should be spending really hurts you, because then you just get to spend up to a certain point and whatever. Do you remember that time?
Oh, yeah, I remember it. Like I said,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. Yeah, exactly. when you see the cash flow coming in and what's going out, and they're not equaling out, it's really troublesome. And if you're listening to this and you're going through it, I'm pretty sure you can relate. It's not a very good feeling. But yeah, for sure, you want to budget out what you got going out and then what's coming in, because as everybody knows, the ones that've been in the industry for a little while, you're gonna have your peaks and you're gonna have your low times in business. And if you're paying way too much and you don't have a good budget set up, then it's really gonna start feeling the pressure.
Yeah, and this starts with the easy stuff, like all your fixed costs, like your warehouse expenses, all your monthly utilities, all the stuff that basically stays the same. Any software you've signed up for, your hosting, like go in and write all that stuff down, put out the dates of it, figure out what that amount is a month. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you need to figure out what the percentage is for your warehouse to do the amount of work it does. So for like every $1,000 of a product that you put out, how much do you have to spend on the warehouse? Same thing for your warehouse teams too, for your driver's team. Mm-hmm. And that's what the commissions come in. We believe the commissions are the best way to go about it, because they know what they're going to get and then what you actually care about. And then also too, it makes it easier for them to be able to, to be incentivized to go ahead and just really just grow in the business and really powder it in to get it where it needs to be at.
Yeah.
Because I know we had a lot of issues, like we talked about multiple on this podcast, that like, there's a lot of times when the incentives were not aligned. We're trying to pay people hourly when we really don't care about how long it takes to do the work. We only care about the work getting done at a certain level and really getting done faster. Like we're willing to pay more if it gets done faster and right. And because we had the hosting on there. But like, so your fixed costs, you get your team costs, and if you get those three things down, it would make it a lot easier to forecast how much you can spend on things. How much your storage could actually be. I want you to ask yourself a real question. Are you or do you have a budget personally and for your business? And if you don't, you need to watch the very, very end of this video. So Eddie, tell them about why we didn't have a budget.
Because it felt good.
It felt good.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have a budget because, we were naive. We didn't really know a lot in the beginning. But now we know a lot by our experiences. If we had a budget, I can just imagine where it would be now. But a lot of wasteful spending, to say the least.
Yeah. We were like that guy from Ha Ha, I Need Money. That's all we were at. Like,
I mean,
I need money.
Yeah. So here's a couple, like two reasons that me and Eddie and the team came up with that you guys need to have it from the start off with. The first one is, you need to know where your money's going. Mm-hmm. And this is the simplest thing that you can do. You can use not any software. There's a lot of softwares out there.
Yeah. Hey, most of the banks now have that too as well.
Yeah.
You can break down all your expenses. Some of them you might have to like put categories in and stuff like that.
Yeah. But a lot of the banks do go through that. And a lot of the online banks, such as like Novo, they kind of auto-categorize too. Chase, I know, does that. I don't know about Wells Fargo or stuff like that, but you know, them them guys. But you know, they do stuff like that. But you want to know where your money's going to. You want to know like where you're spending it, kind of see the pie chart so you can be able to break stuff down. Like, are you actually profitable? Like, are you running this at a loss? Which you shouldn't be running this at a loss, because realistically, the gross profit on these businesses are like high. You'd be like 80-something%. The next thing that we talked about is that just being able to make better decisions once you do have a budget. Even just the before, like once you know exactly where you're spending, you can kind of already start, because you're technically already doing some type of budget. Mm-hmm. It may be in your head or something like that. Something, your money is getting allocated to certain different places, like it was for us. Most of our allocation was to labor. And it's not like our guys were just getting paid a whole bunch more. We just had too many people on. What was that saying that you always say? And we talked about like having too many people is a bad thing.
I don't know. Remind me. I say so many different things.
Yeah, but
things.
It was that one. But having too many people is a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. Because, like every project that we have, one thing that like from experience that we see, you have too many people doing things. They're bumping each other and they're not being productive. There's a golden number on you know, warehouse personnel, delivery drivers. It's pretty much everything that it's just optimal. But it just depends on your size and everything like that, where yours is.
Yeah, what you're doing. Like, if you're doing, like, we know that having two or three trucks delivering to one stop is not optimal. And we had that back in the past. We got sick for 1 week, and the next month, so we found a new system to be able to increase profitability.
Yeah, the new system costs us double.
He said, like, you gotta let it play out.
Yeah,
like,
you're not seeing the benefits yet.
the benefit to who?
Yeah, right.
And find out the benefit was only to them.
Yeah.
So they would have people, one person would drop chairs off, one person drop tables off, and then the manager would just ride along the whole time with them and listen to music.
Take a nap.
And then if they got to a stop where there was no chairs or tables, just the one person would do all the work. So if you're doing setup on 300 on tables, then that person would be able to do all the stuff while the people sit in the vehicle and tell them, hurry up, we got to get moving. And so now you're wasting so much time on that right there. And then
that's crazy.
The biggest thing you will see is the price points on deliveries. It's not the actual time on site, unless you're doing like tents and stuff. It's the drive time between the spaces. And that's the one thing you need to look into when you're looking at multiple people. It's like, is it worth it to have that one person take 50% longer at the stop, or to pay that extra 30 minutes when they were going to take 5, now they take 7.5 minutes at each stop.
Yeah.
So, and that just builds up and destroys your cost. And that's kind of why we got pushed to the commission model, which really helped me and Eddie out tremendously. And you make better decisions. Because like, I think one of the decisions that we got to make early on was that we realized that when we start doing commission, before we started commission, we had all this data from, this is the earned revenue that we got. These were the weeks that we felt we were the most profitable, and from when the paper service was profitable, and we got to see what was the ratio between what the delivery drivers did, and then we got to come up with our numbers for our commissions to be able to understand it. And we realized you can't lose money on delivery. It's your, literally when it comes to your expense of actually getting the stuff delivered, it is the biggest expense that you would have that's directly related to the items. To the budget, so you just want to have a simple budget. And then your budget should account for you to be profitable. Mm-hmm. And that budget, especially in the rental industry, since we change like the actual business changes every single month, not mm-hmm. the business change, but the profit, like, how much revenue you have changes each month. And then because each month is seen differently, you need to have a one for each month. But once you have one for each month of the year, you just got to adjust it percentage wise on there. And hopefully your rental spot is not changing everything. We have a variable rental cost where they're like, whatever I feel like you paying is what you pay.
Yeah.
So you should have mostly fixed rates, and you should be able to see over time how your your profits can just grow. So, because I think for us, we are like, from a fixed standpoint, we have, this is what we're going to spend on a fixed monthly basis. And then we have, well, this is the work we're going to do, and this is based on the work, how much money we should make at the end of the year. And then the only way that you get paid as an owner is if you have some profits. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really get paid if you don't have any profits.
Nope.
Yeah. And then a lot of people probably are like, oh, you get high profits, a lot of money and stuff on there, and stuff. You can make 40% in this business if you do it right, but you have to be able to allocate the resources to the right places at the right times, and you got to be able to control your most biggest expense, which is labor. And then the next one after that will come into probably, hopefully if you're doing it right, will be marketing, storage, vehicles, kind of line down that line, and then insurance. Hopefully your insurance is not number one. Or you probably just can't drive.
You got a lot of young people working for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tons of young people working for you. It's like, damn. But you have to watch out for that tremendously, because that could really bring down your budget. But to recap this real quick, let's go back through. So, Eddie, what's the first thing?
What, on the budgeting?
Yeah. What's the first thing? A reason why?
Why what?
Why they need the budget.
Oh, shoot. You need to know where your money's going.
You need to know where your money's going. It's like the same thing. You need to know, like, how Lily would do. You got to know where her man's at.
I'm like, hey, where's all this money going?
Where's this attention going?
Yeah, right. Sancho, you need to pay some bills.
And the next thing, you have to be able to make decisions and do stuff and review those things. And this is the biggest reason why you want to have a budget, is so that you can control your expenses and be able to actually control your profits. If you don't have a budget, basically, what is it? If you plan to fail, like, if you don't plan to succeed, then you plan to fail.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you don't plan, you don't have a budget, then you're planning to run out of money. And the only way companies fail is by running out of money.
Mm-hmm. Game over.
All right. So the statistic that I have for you guys is only 30% of large enterprises effectively monitor and enforce their budgets.
That's devastating. That is devastating. Hopefully you do get to that point where you could possibly, you know, be able to fix it that way. Because I feel like it'd be an easier fix once you get it down.
Yeah.
And you know your expenses. But I mean, that is, like, depressing. But that's good for you, because now you can come in these businesses and beat these businesses by just doing the simple thing of having a budget in place to be able to make money and know where your money's going. Because a lot of businesses you might be competing with might not have these stuff in place or be doing it improperly. So that should be a win to everybody who's thinking about starting. Now, we're not saying that starting a rental company is easy. It is terribly hard. It's going to be very hard. But starting any business is going to be hard. Anything that is good that you want to do is going to take time and it's going to be hard. But the harder something is, the more it costs. It usually keeps a lot of people out of it. And that's why we love this space. Stop everything you're doing right now. Go in and get that ultimate checklist linked down in the description. This right here will go through where to put your money at. We go through all the breakdowns of how you're supposed to use it, how to allocate your resources, what to do with the extra money is in here. There's a long checklist. There's a checklist where you check everything off and it tells you what to do exactly when to do it too. The ultimate checklist. Okay, so now that you know why. You know why, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know why?
I think we all know why.
Okay, we all know why. So now that we know why, now we need to set some goals. And if you don't have any goals in this right here, first of all, why are you even starting a company for? Like, you're crazy. This is the first thing. Like, this, you already messed up.
Very hard.
Very hard to be doing this. And most people are not going to make any money. So you need to be having some type of goal set up there and a reasonable goal. Don't be saying, I'm going to kill it. This is going to make $1 billion.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I feel like we said that. Yeah, it doesn't work that way, unfortunately. You know, it's not like a lottery ticket that, you know,
scratch off and you're instant.
Yeah, you scratch off and it says you owe $200. That's a scratch off to get it here. So most goals people set are based off of revenue. It's always like, let me get this revenue, this high number. You know, people are like, I want $1 million, I want $2 million, $100 million, whatever the number is. Revenue don't mean nothing. Do not, I mean, you can set a revenue goal once you get your profit stuff, but revenue will just drive you crazy because it's just going to be money you make, but it's not going to be money you get to keep.
Yeah.
And people are going to look at these numbers and be like, this person makes $100 million, not knowing that they have to spend $80 million to make that. So.
This is pretty good.
Yeah, this is pretty good. It's pretty good for what you got, but still.
I'll take that.
Yeah. I'll take that too. But you're not 100. It's not 100 million.
Yeah.
So a couple of different areas that we like to set goals specifically. You can set a revenue goal. We have our earned income goal, which is how much work we actually do in that time frame. You have a revenue generated and you have a cash flow. And those kind of like just like your main money goals that you can kind of have at the very top for like cash flow. Yeah. How much revenue you're generating and how much work you're doing. So those three things. But we'll do some. Let me go through again. So earned revenue. Uh-huh. If you don't know, if you haven't listened to any of our stuff before. Earned revenue is what amount you made during whatever time frame you're talking about. So this is actually the work you did that you actually earned and got paid for. This is not the money that you just collected. Now, cash flow is the money that comes into your account. And this can be just any payment, any transactions, whatever it is. It could be security deposits. It could be deposits, down payments, whatever you want to call it, are the actual cash flow of the money into your actual accounts. Next thing is revenue generated. So let's say for this venue. We might pre-sell this venue, and Eddie might sell a security deposit for $250, but the venue cost might be $1,200. Well, technically, he generated $1,200 in revenue for this business, and that's what you need to calculate on a week-to-week basis, too. Because that shows you where your future earnings could be or your future cash flow comes in. And those are the numbers that actually matter the most, is what you're going to make off of the stuff. It's not always what you take right then and there. Sometimes it's just what you're going to make in the future. So you, but you want to kind of monitor those three areas, because those are the areas that we've seen that have the most issues in there. Because sometimes we'll be like, we got great cash flow. And then you look back like, we didn't generate no revenue this week, basically. Or we're like, we basically did no work this week.
Yeah.
So that's not a good thing. Or be opposite, which is the worst thing. When your cash flow goes down and the earned income goes up, and you're like, dang, I wish I would have saved $50,000 for this week or something. You know, that's also the toughest. That's the things that you have to prepare yourself for. And that's when you put the security deposit, not security deposit, you haven't thinking about the venue, but that's when you put your unearned revenue, and you put those in different locations, and something else you need to track is unearned revenue as well. Eddie, what is your main thing that you track from an operational standpoint?
On an operational standpoint, the main thing is the labor is what I track, because like we said, it's one of the higher, if not the highest cost
easily
of the operation, because like that is, it'll very easily, it's like a, I just think of it as a monster. If it's not contained and controlled, that thing can go loose and just start taking stuff from other places that it shouldn't.
Yeah, like a big fire.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm constantly watching it.
Eddie's out there with the water hose all day.
Right. I'm like, easy there.
Spray him out.
You're eating too much. Hold on. I ain't gonna leave any meat for the rest of us.
Hey, cool him off.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah, that's the main thing that I track, and I look at projections that we have like in the past, and then what we should be doing, you know, the next month or the next quarter, and then I try to adjust and set our budget to do so. But every once in a while, like we get like a surplus. Like right now, it's like September, so right now it's like flowing with a whole bunch of work. So we're gonna have a surplus in labor now. So we're growing as well. So that number might not look the same as it did last year, because now we have way more work to do than we did the projected time, but roughly we just fluff it a little bit more than what it should be.
Yeah, and a big thing, just when you're setting your goals and stuff, like to say that, let me give you an example. So if you're right now, and you probably already started maybe doing this for a month, a couple months or so, or a year, say your goal is $10,000. So from there, if it's just you doing it, then you don't have any labor. And this is, say, $10 a month. You don't have any labor. Only cost you have is whatever your vehicle costs, your storage costs, your advertising costs, and then insurance and little. It should be little stuff on there. And you should make majority of that. I would expect you to probably take home about 75 to 80% of that at least. That's just something that we would say is a good number that we believe that you should take home.
It's realistic.
Yeah, realistic in that part. Now, when you get higher, you're not going to be able to do every single thing. Or you're going to make a lot of mistakes, or you're going to have a terrible work-life balance, or whatever the thing in there. Because, like, realistically, I listened to a podcast the other day, and they said something interesting. It's not just about how much work or the quantity of work, but the quality of work.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, if you're going out here and, like, you only can put tents up, no matter how much money you have, your money is going to blow up a lot. But you're not gonna be able to spend it, and when you do spend it, you're gonna probably spend it on stupid things because you're like always trying to get away from things. Hopefully, you're not trying to get away too much. Mm-hmm. You know, you spend it on the wrong things. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, about that.
But those are big issues that we see that people may have on there. Now, some people are on the other end. They starve their business, take all the stuff from it.
I've seen that.
Yeah, and then those allow you where, and then those people ask, hey, why am I at the same spot? Well, you're taking 95% of the money out of the business, and then you're living this lush, this lavish lifestyle. You drive around in that new car, a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. You went and had two more kids.
Yeah. Yeah. What the?
Added them on the roster.
Yeah. You're doing stuff, and then you're living a really nice, but you're taking most of the money out, and then like you're not growing because you're starving the company.
Yeah.
And you have to have a perfect balance. And we're not big believers on leave everything in the company, and I know some people do that, because realistically, this business can be gone like this. Not saying like your business will, but I'm saying like you can do something wrong, something can happen, or
another COVID,
COVID situation. Especially if a COVID situation happened, then you need to have stuff. You need to take some wins off the table, and if you don't take any wins, it might not allow you to be able to fight in the future to keep this business going. And that's a lot of issues we see a lot of business owners have, that they don't take stuff off the table sometimes, and then they might have large sums, but then like something happens, the money gets taken, they never got to take no vacations. Like, you should be like, this is a long journey. This is not, I'm going to go hard for a year, and then it's gonna work itself out. You're gonna be going hard every year, but maybe not go 100%. Maybe go 95. Maybe go 90. And you go 90 hard and take some time off for yourself, because it's gonna be a long journey. You're gonna be in this business for 10, 15 years before you really, get to the point where you're like, I did well. I'm doing well. It's just anything you do entrepreneurship wise, service based wise, business wise, it's just gonna take a long time. Anything that you do good takes a long time.
Yeah.
And most times you're either going through something or you're getting out of something. Are you about to go through it, or you are through it, or you're going into it, or you're going out of it? There's always something going on. So make sure you do that. But set some clear financial goals, set a revenue goal, earn income, have your expense goals too as well, which should be a goal. Like, I want to keep my expenses underneath 30%. Mm-hmm. I want to have my ratio that we talked about in previous podcasts for the storage. I want to have it underneath 5% of the revenue that we're going to get at the lowest month, so you can always be able to pay for it easily. I don't want to spend my labor cost shouldn't like you, when you make more money, you should make more money. Your labor cost percentage wise shouldn't increase unless there's an issue going on. Mm-hmm. And then also look at too, all the stuff we talked about, check your account. Like how much money should you have in your unearned revenue? Like, is that supposed to be $75,000 and you only have $35,000 in there, and it's going to be an issue because your profits are not 50%. Or maybe your profits are 90%. Who knows? Because it's just you. Maybe you don't need that much money on there. Maybe you don't need that 10% there. But you really need to be focused on that and putting that together. We use tons of software and stuff that we're going to use to talk about in the next one. But Tina probably got something interesting for us. Probably something that's going to...
It was a statistic.
All right. So people who set specific goals are 19 times more likely to achieve them.
Yeah, that makes 19 times. Yeah. It makes more sense. Think about it. How many times have you set your directions? What's the likelihood of you getting there?
You're right.
Yeah. So, how many times have you gotten in the car and just started driving? Like, dang, I didn't get nowhere.
Yep. Every day I use a GPS. Like, where am I going?
Where are you going? It's as simple. You set the goals, know where you're going, understand the stuff. And then what will happen too, the first week when you set some lofty goal, what will happen? You'll be like, I'm making $100 this month. You will make not $100,000. You will make whatever number you make, which might be $100, might be $1,000, might be $10,000, whatever it is. And then you'll be able to see how you can multiply your effort to make there. So then you see I'm going to have to work 10,000 lifetimes to get to $100,000, and you need to change up your method. It's not going to work on there. It might need to go a different way, and that's a whole different process. Or you might realize that I need to make 10 times more reach outs, and then I will get there. Or 100 times. Or whatever the scaling point of it is on there. Or maybe I need to raise my prices up 25% and then reach out to people 75% time more. You can be able to figure this number out and see what the actual effort it takes to get there. And then when you get there, it's going to be a whole nother issue that you're going to have to deal with, because you have to deal with operational-wise, like where the money's going. You have to deal with who's touching it, who's has access to it, what you're going to use the excess up to, how much are you going to take home, how much you need to leave in the business. And that's a whole different topic right there. But all that's in the ultimate checklist. Not all of it, but most of it. Some of that's deep right there. But we're working to get that in there. So, Tina, what do you think about that stuff?
I think everything you said is good. I do think that setting goals is important because, you're manifesting the goals. Everything you're doing, all the efforts you're putting in is working towards getting to that goal. I know the goal for me for my 90 days here was to get to 1,000 followers.
Y'all let her down.
1,000 subscribers. We were a bit short, however, we're at 700 right now, so that's pretty good. 750. When I started here, I believe we were at 230, so...
What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm just saying that, we set the goal and we did everything we could to try to grow our numbers in the time frame that I was given. And I think that having that goal there really did help.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. Are you budgeting?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then. Well, I already got the answer. Okay.
Let's get back to this. Pause.
Let's get back to this. I'm living life. I'm living it right.
I budget for me. I don't budget for my dog, and I think that's where my...
What do you mean? He don't have no job.
He points on the, on the computer
eat.
Screen. That's what I want.
I don't
right
eat, and I will buy my dog whatever he needs.
What do you mean? So you have a list.
Yeah.
He sends you a list.
Made the list. He was like Christmas list.
He's like, Santa. He's like, Santa, give me this. If he can do that, he needs to make some money. Bring him on the show.
Mm-hmm. Your little chair right here.
Let's talk to him. We better have an interview with Tina's dog and see what's going on. He's like, how's your life? He's saying, like, I'm living the life. Like, you should be more like me.
He acts like it.
Yeah. What's your dog's name again?
Zero.
Zero?
Yes.
So he pays zero bills.
Yeah, literally, everything. He pays zero bills.
Okay. So now that you got your goals, now you're thinking, like, how am I going to track this stuff? Aww. We can go back to the caveman days. Da-da-da. Put it all on paper. Yep. Write it all out. Every single transaction.
I was like, caveman had paper?
Oh, yeah. I guess stones. What do they have? The stone carvings.
Yeah, there you go.
When everybody thought they were telling stories, they were just doing their financial projections on the stones.
Yep, they're like, all right, I got two buffaloes. I got.
And they were doing their transactions.
Yep, so that's their budgeting.
So so a couple tools that we use, and we're going to dive more into each tool real quick. We do a quick runoff. Novo for banking. We really like them, not just because they're affiliate, but we use them. You can use them. You get extra $50 if you use them, whatever. You can do what you want to, but get some type of banking solution down. We like these because they allow you to be able to separate into different allocations, so you can have basically different banking accounts underneath one. Works out. The next thing is you need some type of so you need banking software, and then you need some type of accounting software. We use Wave. We've used Xerox. I think that's what the name of it is. We've used Intuit. And then we use another one too, but I don't remember it, so it must not have been that good. So we use those. And then we still use some Google Sheets to do some of our small, very detailed stuff on the back end, like when Eddie's doing like the warehouse efficiency scores and stuff like that, the driver scores. And then when we are doing like earned revenue generated, because you can't see those inside the software, based on because we use a cash accounting method. So we're not financial advisors, as you can tell. So, you know, everything take with a grain of salt. But this is what we personally do and what we use. So let's talk about Novo. Because you've been using this for about over a year. We started using this to test out for the venue.
Yeah. It's a big game changer, like I said. Through the business here, but it's the same kind of concept. It breaks everything down, makes it super simple. For instance, we buy, like, for this venue, we'll buy like trash bags and stuff like that. We can categorize everything, electrical bills. It's gonna get cold soon, so the
natural gas.
Yeah, natural gas stuff. So we can categorize everything. Then we can see like what the cost was, prices hiking up or lowering down, and then we can strategize putting the temperature at a certain level to control that electrical bill. All these couple things that I really like, because we can see it right there. It has a really nice dashboard on it as well.
So yeah, there's two banks that I like. There's Blue Vine, and then there's Novo. that we're gonna talk about. So those two, they pretty much do the same thing. There are business bank accounts you can sign up online, the whole process, all that stuff. These are the only places that I've seen that you can sign up straight for and have features. I know Zen Business has their own banking system too, mm-hmm. that you can use, but from what I've seen, it's not feature as active as other stuff, and you have to pay for it. So it just depends. So maybe we'll test that out with a business in the future when we start another rental business. But when it comes to like the accounting apps, the bookkeeping apps, bookkeeping is something that like we have struggled with. We just got down this year. Like it has been like a huge issue because like you have the little notebook now, which at first I think I was pretty like, you need a notebook.
What do you need a notebook for?
Yeah.
You need it. Cause like it doesn't. I don't know. It's very hard to access the stuff, and then you'll easily lose it. And you're like, oh, what?
Put all the receipts and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And then Eddie's like, I got all these horrible. Receipts.
So here it is. And you have to take a picture of each one and do all this stuff.
And that takes a long time. So now Eddie has because like some of the transactions that you guys know you make that are not going to be, just card transactions.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff Eddie buys because he finds deals and stuff might be sale, might be cash. Maybe EBT,
I bought cousins.
He's buying something stuff. It might come in different forms.
Yeah.
And not everyone's going to give you a receipt. And I think that's what we struggled with for a long time. And I just get mad at it. I was like, Eddie, why don't you do it? And I think about it. Like, how is Eddie supposed to be at the end of the year be like, oh, yeah, here's my 1,000 transactions, exactly where they go for. And so, like, now I think the the thing you've been going pretty well with the right. I mean,
yeah, just writing the little information on the book. Yeah.
And then we'll just go back later and just take the photos of each one, and then we'll get it submitted in there. And we have a bookkeeper that we've hired, brought on to do this stuff. If you need a bookkeeper, reach out to us. We can might be able to point you to somebody who can help you or something. But you need one. You need one early. And that was probably, like, I think from a financial standpoint, that was the biggest mistake that we made early on, is not getting a bookkeeper. Because I think I was like, oh, I can do it. But then, like, we have, since we did the multi-account method, you have tons of transactions between accounts. You have all these transfers and stuff. And it gets really hard to be able to determine, like, where the stuff is going. Yeah, so get your banking app. Get you some type of app to connect to it that does accounting. Get you a bookkeeper, or you do it if you have low transactions, if you only have one account. We recommend you having multiple accounts so you can move the money over there, and also to it avoids, like, you want to have an account that nothing comes out of it, only stuff goes into it, and then you want to have an account where you do your spending and stuff on there, just the basics. But in the ultimate checklist goes through, like, a list of, like, 5 or 6 accounts that you should set up and get together. And if you do it, if you do it on here, on Novo, or one of these other platforms, you don't have to pay that fee over and over to get it set up. Because I think they get paid off the transaction fees and over trying to use other stuff. And the Novo itself has invoicing that you can link up with your Stripe account, which is what we use for most of our payments and stuff like that. So that works out pretty well. Eddie, can you bring the book to us?
Of course. Let me call it in.
Okay. Dang, where'd that come from?
Well, it's just like my Thor's hammer. This is my book. I can call it anytime.
Hey, what's these photos in here?
Hey, you're not supposed to see that. But yeah, this is basically my little book that I keep all the transactions and then the dates and all the little notes and whatnot. And then we take a picture, then I put it digitally in our Google Drive.
Google Drive.
Yeah.
So, like, right here, like, you'll have it. I don't know if you can see this. It'll say Facebook Marketplace or whatever it is in there, mm-hmm. and then wait, hopefully no private owners. But, like, yeah, but it's just stuff right here.
Yeah, we just match the transactions.
Dang, you've been using a lot of these.
Yep. It's like advancement. 15,000.
This is pretty good. But you can do a lot of different stuff. If you have any questions on these tools, put down in the comment section. We'll be easy. We'll get back to you on all that stuff. We're getting better at that. The comments are starting to come in. We really appreciate you guys. But let's get into the next thing, which is going to be something Tim's going to tell us that's look like it's going to be disturbing again.
So the statistic is that 43% of small business owners don't track their expenses.
After this video, none of this should be you guys.
Yeah, make it zero.
Yeah. Now, please drop down a comment right now if you plan to start tracking your expenses and where you're going to start using that and what you're using currently. Because who knows, maybe you might know some software that's better than what you're using. Mm. And we can test out.
Oh, yeah, we'll test it out.
Yeah, we get some stuff on there. So make sure you check that out. But if you haven't already, if you start your business, you already started a little bit, and you're thinking, like, do I need an LLC?
I need to go legit.
You need to get Send Business. And Send Business is a great way for you to get your LLC, get it set up, get a DBA, tons of different legal business attitudes right there. So it's a good place to do it, get set up. They go through a simple, easy process. We've used it personally, too, as well. And then it works out, and, you know, it's not too expensive. They have a feature on there that I think is low-key that most people don't have. Neat is, like, a thing that makes you stay up to date on all your
filings?
Your filings and stuff to make sure that you don't have any issues, you don't get any extra fees, and you pay for itself. Make sure you check it out. Check Send Business down below, and then let them know that you got it from us. So let's get ready to set this budget up and get it created. So we're going to start with 6 simple kind of areas to kind of separate everything into. You might have more. You shouldn't have less, but you should have probably more than this right here. So number one, it's going to be insurance. Your marketing is number 2. 3 would be your storage, be like your warehouse, rent, whatever you're doing, utilities, put it all into that storage area thing. Your team, which would be all your labor, employee expenses. And then next one would be tools, which would be any tools you use, like you buy dollies, you buy $4, any of the stuff that you can imagine. Like, we have tons of tools, but yeah, all the tools right there. And then the last thing would be transportation. Anything to do with vehicle-related expenses. So that can be from, you know, purchasing the vehicle, the vehicle payments, maintenance, gas, oil changes. I think we just got some oil changes, someone done them yesterday.
Yeah.
So like stuff like that, you put that all into expenses. Those kind of like your main 6 buckets. So it just matters. This is where your money kind of goes into. And you want to kind of keep these as low as possible without still being able to gain. We can start with the most expensive thing, which is going to be your team. And these are why we use the tools that we use, which are for You want to make sure that the team is actually, you know, for the drivers, drivers' commissions. So you're not, so you're only paying for when they work and the stuff is kind of lined together. That works out perfect for us. That has been like, I would say, would use a game changing for the whole thing to be able to, and I feel like we get more work done for less cost, and then the people doing the work feel and still are in a good relationship too. That they like it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a game changer. It's able to weed out the type of team that we want as well. Because the that position that's commissioned, it's basically on a person that understands it and understands that it's performance based. So if they don't do very good, they're not gonna get paid very good. But it's the one that the grinders, the one that are out there, the dogs, you would say, they're the ones that do very well in that system.
Yeah, and it's similar to how, I don't know if you've seen like any plumber, electrician, HVAC person, or mechanic, they get paid flag time. This is what the stuff costs. It kind of like works out the same way, and you get those same type of people who go get it. I know Eddie talks to me about, he has one friend who gets a certain amount of hours, and then another friend that gets like twice as amount. Elaborate on that.
Oh yeah, so it's the same thing. Like so basically, it's like you said, we have one of my friends. It's like he does good work, but he, you know, he's flagging around like, I'll just say, sometimes he'll be like, oh, I only got 40 hours. I'm like, 40? But, you know, he's been there like multiple days, like 5 days, 6 days a week. And then other weeks he'll do like maybe 70, 60. And he's celebrating over that. Which I have my other friend, which, man, he's a beast. And everybody wants him because that he's a difference maker in the shop because he's able to do work way faster. He's flagging like 140 hours, 130, you know, 160. But yeah, he's a dog. He's like doing the work that two or three employees would otherwise do, and that's basically what the systems do. They just bring out the best out of the people that they're able to run with it. Because like, there's really, the sky's the limit. It's the only limitation is the individual. Like, how much work do you want to get done in a day?
You know? I think that has been like a good process, and like, I know we didn't specifically take it from exactly that, and we kind of came to the ideal kind of separate, but we still use the same philosophies behind it. And the most of, especially when you sell to drivers now, all our drivers are like, I can't wait to get on commission.
Yeah.
And what's that one song, like, I can't wait to be king? It's like from Lion King. It's like, yeah. But they're like that with the commission stuff, because you get paid more, and it's not based off of just, you know, how long you're there.
Yeah, because some people are like, man, I did all this work and then I didn't get paid for it. But they're like, hey, you do the work and keep on running, keep on working.
Yeah, you can get some really good pay and stuff out there, especially if you do some harder stuff, you do things later at night times, you get paid and compensated better for that too as well.
Yeah.
So we incentivize people to do the harder stuff by they get paid more, but also to incentivize them to get through the stuff that needs to be done faster to get done. And we've seen about everybody raises their pay up from who stays with us. The second thing, which I know you use, is the it's the warehouse. We had two systems that I think we've evolved like two, three times. Uh-huh. It's the warehouse efficiency scores. Do we call it efficiency score? What do we call it?
Yeah, it's called efficiency score.
Okay, so the warehouse efficiency scores. You guys have probably seen the board or whatever. We'll put it back up here, and you see the numbers. But how do we put that together?
So basically what we do is we weigh the we get a value of what they do every day. The lead will basically map out like what's important that needs to be done every day, like a certain task. And then, like the actual, we'll just pretend like we have an order the next day and we need a specialty item that's now dirty, been clean. So we're going to put emphasis on getting that done. So they'll put it on a task list. And then if they do certain tasks and they get certain points off the bat, just doing those tasks, and then they get points on actually cleaning the items. It's a certain percentage on each item. But on some of it, it's a little bit different, because one thing that we ran into, a garden chair issue, because like garden chairs, like the customers are very meticulous on how it has to be. So you need to spend more time on those. So we've upped the ante on that and given the value higher. So basically it's just a point system. And then we just basically track and see like where everybody, and some people they'll just be like, oh, I'm just gonna go in here and just do my task. But just doing the task won't get you to where you need to be. So that's basically how that works out. We just basically map out what's very important, and then put the points according to what the importance.
Yeah, and then the points are based off of the system. Is based off the percentage. Is based off of how much the person makes. So you can actually see what the return is on the person based on what we've allotted as the items. And as you play around with it more, you'll be able to get it down better. And then when people can see on an everyday basis of what where they stand at, we see that people don't like when the number goes down. Not at all. And people get really frustrated and stuff over there. So they tend to do what they need to do to make sure that it's not done. I almost wish we could do it live, where you can see it live. But, that's a whole different area that we got to work on. Mm-hmm. We need to have to bring the robots back. The Overwatcher.
Shit, I'm waiting for Tesla to release their robots.
Yeah. What do you mean? We're not robots?
I told you about the robots at the game.
Yeah, you was talking about
I was trying to sign them boys up. Come over here.
Yeah. Maybe we could put a photo up here. I know you were talking about that.
Yeah.
We'll do an episode about this in the future one day, but how we see use of robots in the future. I don't think it at first eliminates people at the beginning, but I think it just put people in a situation where people do what they're good at doing, robots what they're good at doing, which is be singular tasks. But like what you were saying, I would love to kind of get more into it. That's the Chargers things with the robots are nice. They said they were escorting people to where they were sitting.
I didn't say they were escorting people. I said they were on the sidelines, right there.
Do what?
Yeah, there were four of them, and then there was two or three on the benches.
Yeah. What?
I'll show you. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, we need to pull that one out. That's gonna be interesting.
I was wondering if they were testing the water to see how the community would.
What are the Chargers? What are all their players are robots?
Oh, and that's why they went in. Blew my mind.
Yeah. And then later they start losing. They're like, oh, that's why they're losing, because they're robots.
And you upgrade the strategy on their systems.
Yeah. So the team stuff's kind of set there. Your team expenses may range from 20% up to, 40%. It just depends on what you're doing. Now, obviously, you want to be at the lower end of that, maybe 15, 10, obviously, but it gets difficult. You have a lot of stuff to cover into there. The next thing that we would say would be kind of your biggest expense, or preferably would be your biggest expense, is your marketing efforts. Generally, like I said, I think we do about one for every dollar we put in, we get $10 out. So, you kind of want to spend accordingly to that. And then also you get the return on the customer in the long run, too, if they keep coming back. So it's pretty straightforward about that one. The next one or two is going to be your actual storage. And we talked about this on another episode, pretty lengthy. We want to keep our storage. Right now we're at 7.5% for the lowest month of where our storage kind of stands. We want that storage to be around 5% or lower, or preferably close to 2.5. Mm. We believe that we can get there by investing in certain items that take up less space but make more money per square space it takes up.
Can you elaborate on what percentage you're talking about when you say you want to go down to 2.5%?
Yeah, so basically how it is, let's say that you make $100,000 a month. Well, let's make it easier. Let's bring it back down to a lot of people. Say you make $1,000 a month. You don't want your storage cost to be $1,000. You want it to be at whatever percentage, like 5%, 2.5% of that total revenue you make for your lowest month. So for that, it would be $50 that you do. And you can find a storage, most places you can find a storage place for $50. So that's $250 a week. So it's not that much stuff that you can do. So if you think about you making $5,000 a month, I'm doing this right here, that's $250 that you have to spend on your actual rentals. And mm-hmm. what we've seen, we've gotten 15 by 30 places, or because we're in Texas, so you're going to get some stuff, but you can probably get a 10 by 15 drive up, and you can put all your stuff in there to be able to do that. Now, you have to watch out, though, because if you put in there a whole bunch of tables, it's going to take up a whole bunch of space. Mm-hmm. But if you were to put the same equivalent of tents in there, take up less space, and you make more money from the tent, and even though there's no less space, or pipes and drapes. Because I think our pipe and drape right now, renting out $10 a linear feet. If you go the 12-foot ones that we have, they're $20 a feet, a linear feet. And a table might take up of all those pieces might take up the same space, of all that stuff. And you only get paid $10. Mm-hmm. So you're already jumping up a lot more before. And this stuff takes up more space, and you can stack it up together. If you put a 20 stack of tables, that's $200. If you did the same amount of stuff, which we have in pipe and drape, our pipe and drape, we have about 200 feet, linear feet right now. It's not a lot. We're just getting into it. That 200 feet is $2,000. And if you use the higher one, you might be looking at, half of that being, so what is that, $2,000? So another $3,000 in the same amount of space and that you would have for $200 worth of tables or whatever it is. And that's 10 times the space on that. So you want to be able to do stuff like that. The next thing I would say, what would you say? So we did team, marketing, storage. Would you say transportation's next?
Yes.
Yeah. Or should it be the next, I just say.
Yeah, it's the transportation next.
Yeah. What's some of the expenses that you would have on?
Maintenance, tires blowing up, oil changes, stuff like that. Then after that, it's going to go into, gas, right?
Yeah, gas.
The same thing, yeah. Gas. So it's pretty high, especially if you're running every day.
Next thing I would say would be tools and probably insurance is probably more.
Yeah.
I believe for us, insurance is probably more.
Insurance is more.
Yeah. Because we were like three, we add all like 3,500 with everything.
Yeah.
So like maybe a little more. Yeah, so it'd be a lot. It'd be more for us with insurance. And then we get into tools, which depends what type of tools. I think because we build some of the tools in-house now. Mm-hmm. Like Eddie has his cart that I want to show you guys. So it's up here right here. But this cart is our pipe and drape cart on everything like that. I think you build everything through wood, and you have dividers in there. So we can put everything in there, and we can roll it under. And then you bought some casters.
Yeah, just put some casters on it.
Yeah, so those things like that really help us out and stuff. And I would say, like, tool-wise, I'm going to stash warehouse stuff into tools. Like, we bought some fans because the warehouse, we're in Texas, the temperature has been, like, whatever.
110.
Like, I'm pretty sure we can show the temperature somewhere. Let's go to the next thing is going to be Tina, I think, has a statistic for us.
All right, so the statistic that I have for you guys is businesses with a well-defined budget are 10% more likely to be profitable.
Only 10%?
10%.
That's probably why 47% people don't do it. Because they don't get a 10% chance of it working. But I think everybody should do it. I think this must be with the I think this must be taking in people who have a well-defined budget.
Well, I think it says likely be profitable. It doesn't say the percentage of more profitable. You're right. We can run a business and you can make money and be profitable, but if you really like budget, I'm pretty sure you can be more profitable than, sure.
And and people just have stuff together. So I like that.
Yeah.
Step number five. This is the easiest step for us, hardest step for you. You need to actually follow your budget. So what does that mean, Eddie? What's your budget?
What's my budget?
Yeah, what's your budget for food? Did you follow it?
Of course.
Did you follow it just now?
No, I didn't follow it just now, man. They hit us hard. When we're talking about following the budget, there's so many times it's like, all right, guys. I watch like forums and stuff like that. They're like, all right, guys, I caved in. I got this extra gear. I got a great price. Yeah. And they give the reasonings why they broke their budget. But, it's never good.
Yeah, don't break the budget. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're smart, you would just add that into your budget. Then you don't have to break it. If you're going to do it anyway, you might as well have it controlled.
We can't be cheating, making it up as you go. We're like, all right, I'm going to erase this. The budget's now this much.
At the beginning, you'd be like, well, I plan to spend $1,500 in tools. Like, because the one thing is, too, when you're doing your budget, any budget you're doing, you want to make sure that your budget is realistic.
Yeah.
Because easy day, someone can make a budget on paper for you, and you can try to follow it, and it's not realistic. Like what?
Oh, I was going to say, what if they said, well, last couple months, I've saved this much, so I rolled it over, and now I just spent it all on this 1 month.
Well, if that was part of your budgeting strategy, then that's fine.
What if it was, and they just make an excuse that's what they want to do?
Then you're not following the budget. Then that's not what you're planning to do. But just make sure you stick to your budget. That's the biggest thing. If you want to, you should get like a partner or somebody, and you can have them like someone in the industry, someone can keep you accountable, and you have to send your updated amounts to them, or you have the reports automatically sent them so you can stay where it's on there. I'm not trying to say that you're going to have it every single month where it's going to be exactly how you want it to be, but you should be just striving to getting it as best as possible and trying to do it. And understand too, if you spend more over here, you might have to cut back over here.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it might not be like for how the pies are shaped, but it should just be that the amounts are the same of what you were trying to save or what you were trying to do. But realistically, this is kind of how I see some, even like tools and stuff, because I see tools as investments. So generally, when you spend money on tools, that is part of that is after your profit that you because you can't you won't have any be able to spend it because you don't have any profit if you technically didn't have any profit. So I would say, like, if you do it, just reallocate it to maybe, like, a capital expenditure or something like that that you can put towards it. And then just know that if you didn't want to spend any extra money, you didn't have to. So that's kind of like the philosophy I kind of hold on it right here. Like, you want to separate stuff that you don't have to spend that you might be doing to grow or whatever versus stuff that, like, this is required, nothing you can do about it. You got to pay rent, can't pass go, don't collect $200 type stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of budgeting challenges, I know I have some. About 40% of small businesses find cash flow management as their biggest budgeting challenge.
I believe that. That's the only way that you go out of business if you run out of money. So just remember that. No matter what really happens to you, if you run out of money, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
The money drives like a creek. The money dries up. The creek dries up.
And all the crops dry up.
The crops dry up.
Can't yeah. grow no more.
The fish die. Everything goes. Everything mm-hmm. leaves you. So you have to watch out for that.
Yeah.
But let's get into the rental rundown.
Rental rundown.
So the first question that I have for you guys is, how do I deal with unexpected expenses in my budget?
So I think unexpected would be something like you incurred some type of expense that that you couldn't account for. This could be something got damaged, something got broken that you weren't expecting to get broken. You have to pay some type of thing to a customer. You have to refund something, mm-hmm. like something along that line. So for the most part, you want to if you can plan beforehand, you want to try to have the money to the side so you can kind of negate some of this stuff. And usually when I've seen in most businesses, if you have just an extra $1,000 to $10,000 to the side, you can negate most problems that may come up. But usually not many problems that for most regular size businesses, like under $10 million, I would say, that would just come out of nowhere most times that I've seen.
Maybe we can ask them and give us some examples in the comments.
Yeah, give us some examples we can talk about.
How do I better track my expenses if I can't invest in Novo, Wave, or any other budgeting softwares?
Okay, so the first thing with this right here, Novo is free to you. So that's good. The Wave apps is a free app as well. So, you know, I'll be trying to hit you with the freeze because I know you like the free.
Mm-hmm.
But if somehow you can't use any of those apps for whatever reason, you can always go back down to using spreadsheets or using whatever bank you have and trying to figure out the tools and stuff along that lines.
Yeah.
Those would probably be the best ways to go about it. Anything else, Eddie?
No, I mean, you pretty much got it. I like spreadsheet because you can, if you know how to use it, you just put all your numbers in there and you just put the sum and equals, then it'll do everything right here in a total.
Yeah, we have a new course called Spreadsheets with Eddie.
Spreadsheets, that's the only one that I know. All the other ones, the formulas, I don't really know too much.
No, you know a lot, though. It's fine. So that's basically how it is right there. But we're going to go ahead and recap a couple of things on right here on the budget. First thing, as we said and we mentioned before, you need to have a budget, start off there, and then improve upon that budget. Make decisions based off of your budget with the information that you get. Try to keep it realistic. And also to stick to it and keep working on it. It's going to be a regular thing. Uh-huh. Get someone to be accountable with you. If you have a business partner, you should be sending them the updates on it on a weekly basis and not just, you know, like, it is what it is on some things like that. So just have some type of budget. Communicate that to your team and everything so you can be able to get everything you need to do. But, you know, we really appreciate you guys for sitting there and watching, especially me to this point right now. You know, like, just let us know at, like, you know, what time you're right now. Comment somewhere down below what time you're watching this at. We'll reach back out to you. And, like, we really appreciate you guys. But make sure you get the Ultimate Checklist. Get all the links down in the description. Subscribe and like this video or whatever you're listening to this at on any of the podcast platforms. We got a lot of new content coming out, a lot of new interesting things that we think you guys are going to enjoy. And just let us know if anything we can improve upon to make it better. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salcedo.
And we are the Rental Boys, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you.
Go get that money.